This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. Scores of people have been crushed and injured as Kenyans forced their way into the stadium where William Ruto will be inaugurated as president. And media says about 60 were injured, possibly more. There are no reports of deaths. Ruto narrowly won the election in East Africa's most stable democracy over longtime opposition figure Raila Odinga. And the Supreme Court last week rejected challenges to the official results. He is taking power in a country heavily burdened by debt that will challenge his efforts to fulfill sweeping campaign promises made to Kenya's poor. Ukrainian forces have now gained the momentum, but that's not silenced Russian guns as the war in Ukraine rages on. AP correspondent Ben Thomas has more details.
Ukraine's lightning advance has had Russian troops on the run in the country's northeast. That's not stopped the Russian attacks, though. Firefighters have been kept busy in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, and a constant target of shelling, as has been Nikopol, across the river from the Zaporizhia nuclear plant.
The situation is untenable.
International Atomic Energy Agency Chief Rafael Grossi.
And we see that one day we repair one line only to see it go down the next day and to wonder what is going to happen.
He says the warring sides must agree to a nuclear safety zone.
I wonder what arguments could be raised.
The last operational reactor in the plant has been shut down in hopes of preventing disaster. I'm Ben Thomas.
You can find more at voanews.com. Again, that is voanews.com. This is VOA News. Armenia's prime minister says that 49 soldiers were killed in nighttime attacks in Azerbaijan. Nicole Pashin said in Parliament Tuesday that Azerbaijani forces attacked about half a dozen points. The news agency Interfax reported Azerbaijan and Armenia have been locked in a decades-old conflict over the Nagorno-Karabakh, which is part of Azerbaijan, but it has been under the control of ethnic Armenian forces backed by Armenian since a separatist war there ended in 1994. During a six-week war in 2020 that killed more than 6,600 people, Azerbaijan reclaimed large parts of Nagorno-Karabakh and surrounding areas that had been controlled for decades by the Armenia-backed separatists. As Queen Elizabeth's four children walked silently behind a hearse, carried her flag-draped coffin along a crowd-lined street in the Scottish capital, St. Giles Cathedral. There, a service of thanksgiving hailed the late monarch as a constant in all our lives over 70 years. Crowds lined the street for the solemn procession, just as they did a day earlier when the Queen's coffin was slowly driven down from the Balmoral Castle. King Charles III, dressed in an army uniform, was accompanied by Princess Anne, Prince Andrew, and Prince Edward. Australia's Prime Minister has defended an obscure and long-standing protocol that bars the nation's parliament from sitting for 15 days following a British monarch's death. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, says that lawmakers will reconvene on September 23rd to debate a condolence motion for Queen Elizabeth II, the earliest date that the protocol allows. While presenting himself as a traditionalist, Albanese wants an Australian president to replace the British monarch as head of state, but he has brushed off questions about creating an Australian republic since the Queen's death. Most advocates for and against a republic have been avoiding saying anything that might be seen as seeking advantage from the death of the widely respected monarch. European health officials have cleared the way for an updated Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 booster.
A new report estimates some 50 million people worldwide were living in modern slavery at the end of...
The European Medicines Agency has recommended the authorization of a tweaked booster dose of Pfizer's BioNTech coronavirus vaccine. The updated version will include protection against two of the latest...